Ah, you'd think by the holy scent of it our friend had been baptizing the garden, but it's only the heathen rainfall.
Do you think he knows what's been happening to us? I heard them hurting you.
Old Angel Scraper, he knows all right, but he's subdued to the cloth he works in. They didn't harm you.
No. Oh, how tired I am. What can you see out there?
Out here is a sky so gentle, 5 stars are ventured on it. I can see the sky's pale belly glowing and growing big soon to deliver the moon. And I can see a glittering smear, the snail trail of the sun, where it crawled with its golden shell into the hills. A darkening land sunken into prayer, lucidly in dewdrops of one syllable, nunc dimittis. I see twilight, madam.
But what can you hear?
The howl of human jackals.
Do you mind? I have to scrub the floor.
Twilight, double, treble, in and out. If I try to find my way, I bark my brains on shadows sharp as rocks, where half a day ago was a wild, soft world, a world of warm straw, whispering every now and then with rats, but possible. Possible not this where I'm lost. The morning came and left the sunlight on my step like any normal tradesman. Now every spark of likelihood has gone. The light draws off as easily as though no one could die tomorrow.
Are you going to be so serious about such a mean allowance of breath as life is? We'll suppose ourselves to be caddisflies who live one day. Do we waste the evening commiserating with each other about the unhygienic condition of our worm cases? For God's sake, shall we laugh?
For what reason?
For the reason of laughter, since laughter is surely the surest touch of genius in creation. Would you ever have thought of it, I ask you, if you'd been making man, stuffing him full of such hopping greeds and passions that he has to blow himself to pieces as often as he conveniently can manage it? Would it also have occurred to you to make him burst himself with such a phenomenon as cachinnation? That same laughter, madam, is an irrelevancy that almost amounts to revelation.
Well, I laughed earlier this evening, and where am I now?
Between the past and the future, which is where you were before.
Or was it for laughter's sake you told them you were the devil? Or why did you?
Honesty, madam. Common honesty.
Honesty common with the devil?
Gloriously common. It's evil for once not travelling incognito. It is what it is.
Oh, thank you for that. You speak of the world I thought I was waking to this morning. But horror is walking with me here, because nothing is as it appears to be. That's the deep water my childhood had to swim in. My father was drowned in it.
He was drowned in what? In hypocrisy?
In the pursuit of alchemy.
Oh.
In refusing to accept the dictum, it is what it is, poor father. In the end, he walked in science like the densest knight. And yet he was greatly gifted. When he was born, he gave an algebraic cry. At one glance, measured the cubic content of that ivory cone, his mother's breast, and multiplied his appetite by 5. So he matured by progression, gained experience by correlation, expanded into marriage by contraction, and by certain physical dynamics formulated me. What years and powers he wasted, my poor father. He thought he could change the matter of the world by strange experiment and by describing numerical parabolas.
To change the matter of the world. Magnificent intention. And so he died deluded.
As a matter of fact, it wasn't a delusion. As a matter of fact, after his death, when I was dusting the laboratory, I knocked over a crucible, which knocked over another, which rocked a third, and they poured and spattered onto some copper coins, which 3 days later, by impregnation, had turned into solid gold.
Tell that to some sailor on a horse. If you had such a secret, I and all my fiendish flock, my incubi, succubi, imps, and cacodemons, would have leapt out of their bath of brimming brimstone, crying, Eureka! Cherchez la femme! Emperors would be colonizing you, their mistresses patronizing you, ministers of state governmentalizing you. You would be eulogized, lionized, probably canonized for your divine mishap.
But I never had such a secret. It's a secret still, what it was I spilt, or to what extent, or in what proportion, whether the atmosphere was hot, cold, moist, or dry, I've never known. Someone else can discolor their fingers, tease their brains, and spoil their eyesight to discover it. My father broke on the wheel of a dream. He was lost in the search. So for me, the actual, what I touch, what I see, what I know, the essential fact.
In other words, the bare untruth.
And if I may say so, without appearing rude, absolutely no devils.
How in the miserable world in that case do you come to be here, pursued by the local consignment of fear and guilt? What possible cause...
Ooh, your thumbs. I'm sure they're giving you pain.
Listen, by both my cloven hooves, if you put us to the rack of an exchange of sympathy, I'll fell you to the ground. Answer my question.
Why do they call me a witch? Well, remember, my father was an alchemist. I live alone, preferring loneliness to the companionable suffocation of an aunt. I still amuse myself with simple experiments in my father's laboratory. Also, I speak French to my French poodle. And you must know I have a peacock, which on Sundays dines with me indoors. A few days ago, a new little serving maid carrying the food heard its cry, dropped everything, and ran never to return and told all whom she met that the devil was dining with me.
It really is beyond the limit of respectable superstition to confuse my voice with the peacock's. Don't they know I sing solo bass in Hell's Madrigal Club? And as for you, you with no eyes, no ears, no senses, you the most superstitious of all. For what is the more superstitious than the mumbo-jumbo of believing in re... The mumbo-jumbo of believing in re... The mumbo-jumbo believing swallow... Swallow a pin. Exquisite dilemma, where altercation thrums in every granule of the Milky Way, persisting still in the dead sleep of the moon, and heckling itself hoarse in that hothead the sun. And as for here, each acorn drops arguing to earth, and pollen's all polemic. We've given you a world as contradictory as the female, as cabalistic as the male, a conscienceless hermaphrodite who plays heaven off against hell, hell off against heaven, revolving in the ballroom of the skies, glittering with conflict as with diamonds. We've wasted paradox and mystery on you when all you ask us for is cause and effect. A copy of your birth certificate was all you needed to make you at peace with creation. How uneconomical the whole thing's been.
It's a fine time to scold me for keeping myself to myself and out of the clutch of chaos. I was already in a poor way of perplexity, but now you leave me no escape except out on a stream of tears.
Oh, here, none of that.
I beg your pardon.
Well, now I'm down on my knees, I may as well stay here. In the name of all who were ever drowned at sea, don't weep. I never learnt to swim. May God keep you from being my Hellespont.
What I do with my own tears is for me to decide.
That's all very well, you get rid of them, but on whose defenseless head are they going to fall?
I'd no idea you were so afraid of water. I put them away.
Oh, Pete, I don't know which is worse, to have you crying, or to have you behaving like Catherine of Aix, who never wept until after she'd been beheaded, and then the accumulated tears of a long lifetime burst from her eyes with such force they practically winded three onlookers and floated the parish priest 200 yards into the entrance hall of a brothel. It made her life in retrospect infinitely more tolerable. And when she got to purgatory, she was laughing so much they had to give her a sedative.
Oh, why should you want to be hanged?
Madam, I owe it to myself. But I can leave it till the last moment. It'll keep while the light still lasts.
Well, what can we see in this light? Nothing, I think, except flakes of drifting fear, the promise of oblivion.
Nothing is seen in the thistle down, but the rough-head thistle comes. Rest in that riddle. I can pass to you generations of roses in that wrinkled berry. There. Now your hand holds a race of summer gardens. It lies under centuries of petals. What is not you have in your palm. Rest in the riddle. Rest. Why not? This evening is a ridiculous wisp of down, blowing in the air as disconsolately as dust. And you have your own damnable mystery too, which at this moment I could well do without.
I know of none. I'm an unhappy fact, fearing death. Well, this is a strange moment to feel my life increasing, when this moment and a little more may be for both of us the end of time. You cast your fishing net of eccentricity, caught me when I was already lost, and landed me with despairing gills on your own strange beach. That's too inhuman of you.
Inhuman? If I dared to know what you meant, it would be disastrous.
Means I care whether you live or die. You've cut yourself a shape in the air, which may be my scar.
Will you stop frightening me to death? Do you want our spirits to hobble out of their graves, enduring twinges of hopeless human affection so long as death shall last? Still to suffer pain in the amputated limb, to feel passion in vacuo? I tell you, the heart is worthless. No more than a pomander's perfume in the sewerage. And a nosegay of private emotion isn't going to distract me from the stench of the plague pit. You needn't think it will. Don't entertain the mildest interest in me, or you'll have me die screaming.
Well, why should that be? If you're afraid of your shadow falling across another life, we'll shine less brightly upon yourself. Step back into the rank and file of men instead of preserving the magnetism of mystery and your curious passion for death. You're making yourself a breeding ground for love. You must take the consequences.
But
what are you afraid of, since in a little while neither of us may exist? Either or both may be altogether transmuted into memory. Then the heart's obscure indeed. Rich, there's a tear rolling out of your eye. What is it?
Oh, that, I don't really know. I have things on my mind.
And not us?
Not only.
If it's a woman, Richard, apply yourself to the scrubbing brush. It's all a trick of the light.
The light of a fire.
And, Richard, make this woman understand that I am a figure of vice and crime.
Guilty of
what? Mankind. I perpetrated human nature. My father and mother were accessories before the fact, but there'll be no accessories after the fact. By my virility, there won't. Just see me as I am. Me, like a perambulating vegetable, patched about with inconsequential hair, looking through two small jellies for the means to live. Balanced on folding bones, my sex no beauty but a blemish to be hidden behind judicious rags, driven and scorched by boomerang rages and lunacies that never touch the accommodating artichoke or the seraphic strawberry beaming in its bed. I defend myself against pain and death by pain and death, and make the world go round, they tell me, by one of my less lethal appetites. Half this grotesque life I spend in a state of slow decomposition, using the name of unconsidered God as a pedestal on which I stand and bray that I'm best of beasts, till under some patient moon or other I fall to pieces like a cake of dung. Is there a slut would take this in her arms and put her lips against it?
Well, sluts are only human. By a quirk of unastonished nature, your obscene, decaying figure of vegetable fun can drag upon a woman's heart as though heaven were dragging up the roots of hell. Oh, what is to be done? Something persuades us into the terrible fallacy that man is desirable. There's no escaping into truth. Your crimes and cruelties leave us longing, and campaigning love still pitches his tent of light among the suns and moons. You may be decay in a platitude of the flesh, but I have no other such memory of life. You may be corrupt as ancient apples. Well, then, corruption is what I most willingly harvest. You are evil hell, the father of lies. If so, hell is my home, and my days of good were a holiday. Hell is my hill, and the world slopes away from it into insignificance. I have come suddenly upon my heart. Where it is, I see no help for.
We are lost. Both irretrievably lost.
You are indeed.
What?
The woman has confessed.
It is a happy idea, eh, Tapacum?
Spargery or asper vulgum ambiguous. The town can go to bed.
A very nice confession, my dear.
What is this popping noise? Now, what's the matter?
Well, they think I've confessed to witchcraft. Unless you understand.
Now, chaplain, pieties come later.
Young Devise had better go and calm the populace. Tell them faggots will be lit tomorrow at noon.
No! What do they mean? Am I at noon to go to the fire? Oh, for pity, why must they brand themselves with me?
She has bribed you to procure her death. Graft, graft, oh, the corruption of this town, where only the rich can get to kingdom come, and the poor man is left to groan in the full possession of his powers, and she's not even guilty. I demand fair play for the criminal classes.
Terrible state of mind. Humphrey, take him away.
Oh, well, I can but try.
You didn't try soon enough. Who else is going to cheat me out of my death?
Oh, look, she's fallen.
Water.
But no fire. Do you hear? No fire. How is she, Richard? Oh, the delicate mistiming of women. She's carefully snapped in half my jawbone of an ass.
Life is coming back.
It is my duty as justice to deliver sentence on you as well.
Ah.
Found guilty of jaundice, misanthropy, suicidal tendencies, and spreading gloom and despondency. You will spend the evening joyously, sociably. taking part in the pleasures of your fellow men.
Not till after you've hanged me. I'll be amenable then.
Have I come back to consciousness to hear that still? Richard, help me to stand. You see, preacher, to the caddis fly, I return to live my allotted span of insect hours. But if you batter my wings with talk of death, I shall drop to the ground again.
Ah, one concession to your courage, and then no more. Gentlemen, I'll accept your most inhuman sentence. I'll not disturb the indolence of your gallows yet, but on one condition, that this lady tonight shall have her share of awful festivity. She shall suffer, too.
Out of the question.
Quite out of the question.
Absolutely out of the question.
You shall spend your evening in searching for the bodies of my victims, or else the Lord Chief Justice of England shall know you let a murderer go free. I'll raise the country.
Do you think I could go in gaiety tonight under the threat of tomorrow if I could sleep?
That is the heaven to come. We should be like stars now that it's dark. Use ourselves up to the last bright dregs and then vanish in the morning. Shall we not suffer as wittily as we can?
I'm such a girl of habit, I'd got into the way of being alive. I'll live as well as I can this evening.
And I'll live too if it kills me.
Well, Uncle, if you are going to let this clumsy-fisted cutthroat loose on the house tonight, why not the witch girl too?
Foolishly, I can't help saying it. I should like to see them dancing.
We have reached a decision. The circumstances compel us reluctantly to agree to your most unorthodox request.
Wisely. But listen, woman, after this evening, I have no further interest in the world.
But let it be fully understood that this extravagant concession in no way revokes tomorrow's burning.
You see, my interest also will not be very great, I imagine, after this evening.
Oh, tedium, 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 tidium, tidium, tidium. A frenzied ceremonial drumming of the humdrum. Where in this small talking world shall I find a longitude with no platitude? Mm. I must apologize, that was no joke to be heard, making to myself in the full face of the moon. Ah, if only I'd been born flame. A flame poised, say, on the flighty head of a candle, I could have stood in this draught and gone out, whip through the door of my exasperation.
You're a pestering parasite. If I had my way, you'd be got rid of. You're mad and you're violent, and I strongly resent finding you slightly pleasant.
Oh, God, yes, so do I.
As things turn out, I want to commit an offence.
Does something prevent you?
I don't know what offence to commit.
What abysmal poverty of mind.
Humphrey, Nicholas, oh, there you are. Whatever's wrong? You both go wandering off as though our guests could be gay of their own accord. They're very nervous and need considerable jollying. Goose liver, cold larks, cranberry tarts, and sucking pig. And now everyone looks as though they only wanted to eat each other, which might, in the circumstances, be the best possible thing. Your uncle sent me to find you. I can tell he's put out. He's as vexed as a hen's hind feathers in the wind. And for that matter, so am I. Go back inside and be jolly like anyone else's children.
Mother, I'd as soon kiss the bottom of a Barbary ape. The faces of our friends may be enchantment to some, but they wrap my spirits in a shroud. For the sake of my unborn children, I have to avoid them. Oh. And I'll be brave, Mother. They'll go in the course of nature.
It's unfortunate, considering the wide choice of living matter on this globe, that I should have managed to be a mother. I can't imagine what I was thinking of. Your uncle has made me shake out the lavender from one of my first gowns, which has hung in the wardrobe 24 unencouraging years, to lend to this Janet girl, who in my opinion should not be here. And I said to her flatly, the course of events is incredible. Make free with my jewel box. Where is she now?
No doubt still making free. Off she has gone, away to the moody, melting horizons of opal, moonstone, bloodstone, now moving in lazy amber, now sheltering in the shade of jade from a brief rainfall of diamonds, able to think tomorrow has an even brighter air, a glitter less moderate, a quite unparalleled freedom in the fire, a death no bounds to it. Where is she now? She's dressing, I imagine.
Yes, I suppose so. I don't like to think of her.
Ah.
And as for you, I should like to think of you as someone I knew many years ago and, alas, wouldn't see again. That would be charming. Humphrey, I beg of you to come. Give your brother a good example.
Our mother isn't pleased.
Benighted brothers in boredom, let us unite ourselves in a toast of ennui. I give you a yawn to this evening, especially remembering Mrs. Cartwright. Oh. Mortal life, women, all government, wars, art, science, ambition, and the entire fallacy of human emotions.
Oh. And wake us in the morning with an ambrosial breakfast. Amen, amen.
Humphrey, Poppin, draw back the curtains. I have a sense of daylight.
It seems we're facing east.
You've come too late. Romulus, Remus, and I have just buried the world under a heavy snowfall of disinterest. There's nothing left of life but cranberry tarts, goose's liver, sucking pig, cold larks, and Mrs. Cartwright.
That's riches running mad. What about the have-not moon? Not a goose, not a pig, and yet she manages to be the wit of heaven and rouse the envious queen of Sheba to wash in mercury so that the Sheban fountains should splash deliriously in the light of her breast. But she died, poor queen, shining less than the milk of her 1,000 short-horn cows.
What's this? Where's the girl I spoke to earlier this evening with her essential fact? Surely she knows, if she is true to herself, the moon is nothing but a circumambulating aphrodisiac divinely subsidized to provoke the world into a rising birth rate. A veneer of sheerest Venus on the planks of time, which may fool the ocean, but which fools not me.
So no moon?
No moon.
Well, let her have the last quarter.
No. If he says no moon, then of course there can be no moon. Otherwise, we destroy his system of thought, confuse the quest for truth.
You see, Nicholas?
I have only one small silver night to spend, so show me no luxuries. It'll be enough if you spare me a spider. As it spins, I'll see the 6 days of creation in a web, and a fly caught on the seventh. And if the dew should rise in the web, I may well die a Christian.
I must shorten my sail. We're into a strange wind. This evening you insisted on what you see, what you touch, what you know. Where did this weather blow from?
Off the moors of mortality, that might be so. Or there's that inland sea, the heart. But you mustn't hinder me. Not now. I come of a long-lived family, and I have some 60 years to use up almost immediately. I shall join the sucking pig.
What I hear from your mother isn't agreeable to me in the smallest. Humphrey, will you explain yourself?
Uncle, I came to cool my brow. I was on my way back.
Don't keep us talking. I need to plunge again into that ice cap of pleasure in the next room. Please take my arm.
I am the host. I have the right.
Nicholas, he has the right. Let me commit no solecism so near to eternity. Please open the door for us. We must go in as smoothly as old friends.
I was to tell you, Mr. Tyson.
I'm not to be found. I'm fully occupied elsewhere. If you wish to find me, I shall be in my study. You can knock, but I shall give you no reply. I wish to be alone with my convictions. Good night.